Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez, and my guest today is Anir Marie Reyes. And we're discussing at the end of the second segment, she was giving us some background on her growth as a human being. And I don't know if the listeners, but I understood the church had 3,000 parishioners. She says, no, 30,000 parishioners. And at the different four services, each one about 11,000 at each service. Right. I mean, and so you put together all these parishioners and to go beyond just the religious and Bible to holistically help the ones in need in different ways. So go forward. Go ahead. Tell us.
Okay. So that happened, and I learned a lot. I ended up, when I was finishing my work, I ended up building a medical clinic for indigent, for these, you know, immigrants, because they, you know, it's cash. They work for cash. So if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. So we did it at night. We changed the concept, and it was volunteers, doctor. And I played nurse. Like, I would tell them, I would take their temperature, blood pressure, and then they would say, "You, if you walk more, your cholesterol and your sugar." So it was kind of like an adventure.
And don't eat so much French fries and marshmallows.
No, I said tortilla with lard. So which they were really good, but anyway, so I finished that, and so then I get called to do this consulting, same work in other places around Texas. And then during my time there, once my kids were grown, went to college, the last one, they were in the driveway, and my daughter says, "Mom, get a hobby. Don't call us every day." and so
make a life.
Yeah, it's great when your kids tell you that, like, okay, you raised us well. Now it's your turn. So I was like, okay, what am I going to do with my life now that my kids are in our home? So I lived in a yacht club. It's a small.
But wait, I kind of lost you a little bit. But you were with this church.
Yes.
And your kids were how old then?
They were different ages, teenagers. My son, my youngest was
when she says, you know, but you were very, very active in the community and all that.
So all this happens parallel to my work. So I continue all my work in community transformation with the church, with the community. But then I expand because people start learning about my work, mm-hmm. and how you can work with government and not cross those lines of church, state, you know, which I always respected. And we did a lot of things, get water rights for that community. They put sewage systems down. They annexed the community to the city of Rockwall, which that brought services, trash. So I was doing that work, but on the side, my kids are gone. They tell me, "Mom, get a hobby." Not that my life was not busy. I still live a very busy life. And they're like saying, "Oh, Mom, you're so busy."
Gave it more busy.
Yeah. So I needed a hobby. So I lived in a yacht club, very small. Like, it was like Palmas, but only 1,000 homes. Very small. On a lake. The lake had 3 sailing clubs. And I'm just like, I go to the little yacht club and the little grill. And I'm like, is it easy? You know, I'm Puerto Rican, so I'm surrounded by water in Puerto Rico. I'm like, I'm from Puerto Rico, and is it easy to go sailing? So
this is in a lake.
In a lake. Yeah, it's a man-made lake, but it's huge. It still has three sailing clubs.
Wow, okay.
So the guy said, "Well, I'm going to talk to my brother. He's the captain of a boat here, and I'm going to introduce you." Do the introductions. My first experience on a sailboat was Dallas Race Week. It was a regatta. And the captain told me, when I say tack.
Duck.
You jump from where you're at and you go to the other side and back and forth.
You were weight.
Yes, I was weight. Yeah, I was weight. And so I don't know. I got addicted to the adrenaline rush of sailing.
Okay.
And then so I started going out and, you know, first they tell you sit and watch or be a weight. Then they're like, okay, pull this line. And then I'm very, I take things very serious. So I was like, I started going to the gym and say, I need to be able to raise this, the mainsail of a hunter. I don't know, it was like 30-something foot. And a hunter is a big cruising, but the guy, the captain, he was an engineer, and he raised it. And I said, I need to be able to raise that main by myself, and then I feel that I've accomplished. Uh-huh. And I sailed with the captain for 10 years. We've raised in the Gulf. The Harvest Moon Regatta, we've raced in a Hobie 33. It's a small race boat that Hobie only built one monohull, and it was the Hobie 33. And so we've, Fort Lauderdale to Key West. I was just wherever sailing, adventuresome. I've fallen, I've lost earrings, but I just love sailing, and I love the water. So anyway, so I do all that, finish my work,
And at the same time, you're doing work, yeah, community?
Community work,
you're
always
doing the two things, yeah.
So I'm on this two tracks.
Two tracks.
So then I come to Puerto Rico. Maria happens, Hurricane Maria, and I wanted to come, and my mom was without electricity for 8 months. I come on Mother's Day of that next year, after Maria, and my mom ends up in the hospital, cannot walk. And at the hospital, she looks at me, and she's like, why don't you consider moving back to Puerto Rico to help us a little bit? Hmm. And I'm like, no. Puerto Rico's bankrupt, it's inefficient, you know, it's just, no. And it was funny because that little voice inside would say, why not? You know, like, I'm single, my kids are grown, they're all over in different parts of the world, why not? So I decided to stay 1 week longer, talk to different people, my financial advisor. That voice grew louder and louder and louder until I moved to Puerto Rico that same summer. My father passed away several years ago. He was older than my mom. So my mom is still alive. She's 86.
Okay.
So, and we're three girls, three sisters.
Right.
So I'm more like my dad. I'm probably more like the patriarch of the family. So so I decide, you know, all these things happen. I pray, and I'm like, okay, I feel so strong, like, go to Puerto Rico. Why not? So I call the shippers, and they say, we won't move you after August 1st because of hurricane season. So I set a goal, August 1st, I will be in Puerto Rico. August 1st, the captain of the boat that I sailed with for so many years took me to the airport. I had 8 suitcases. And when I get in that plane, I tell the lady, just get me all the Bloody Marys. Just keep them coming. Because I was like, you know, like that song, The Point of No Return, the Phantom of the Opera.
I made a big decision. Oh, I hope it was the right one. Yeah.
And it was strange. So anyways, I land in Puerto Rico. You know, my background is building nonprofits, building community development, bringing change, like addressing societal problems. I think that's what I've kind of, like, a system change, system leader. And so, you know, I just start moving. I didn't have jobs. I just, like, I'll do consulting, I'll do whatever. And when you're not afraid of starting from scratch. You just go and it's an adventure. I'm on a mission. Remember, I had like that missional background. And so I get hired to start the Puerto Rico Education Foundation. Crash course in government. That's when Julia Kelleher was here. She got arrested. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I came to Puerto Rico. I have such a great reputation and all these. And I find myself in the middle of this mess. But I realized that I was called to do this, to help Puerto Rico in education. Without education, we're a lost country. Mm-hmm. So I start using those same skills with sailing, because you have a destination, but to get there, the wind might change, the sail might tear, you know, lose a line, but you're gonna get there. And I think that all that prepared me for all this, for the years that I was in the Education Foundation. And I think one of my biggest accomplishments that I'm very proud of is the per pupil funding formula. It's Puerto Rico's budget, which is very difficult to understand, follow the teacher's salaries instead what specific student needs financially to get not an excellent education, but an appropriate education. So I worked on that for 5 years. And finally, this year was the first, they moved to a per pupil funding formula, which is in the law. Law 85 calls for a per pupil funding. And so, but it had taken all this time to get it done.
Wow.
And we were able to, you know, with all the changes, onboard secretaries. We're here to help you be successful. We don't care about the credit. We don't care about power. We just care about the kids. And if I can help you, give you skill, information, strategic plan, you know, whatever it is that you need to do your job successfully, that's what we want to do. And the other, I feel it's also like, I feel a legacy of mine. I built an academy, a leadership academy, an educator's leadership academy, because we need leaders. And if you want to run a school district or a region or an area or a school, you need to learn about what are the standards on academic, on planning, on budgeting, on purchasing? So we have an academy. We are on the third cohort, which, hooray. So I feel like, you know, I struggled, I cried, I was worried about all the things that happened, but we were successful. I feel like I did something to change, to start bringing change.
Okay.
Through then, again, parallel to that, they asked me to be the commodore of the East Sailing Fleet to help bring leadership. And so I did that. And then now I'm the president of the Rotary Club of San Juan. And we just want to, you know, like, what changes do we need to make to be relevant to our community, to be relevant to the younger leaders? And I think my heart is leadership, like build leaders, because those are the ones that are going to change the future.
Right, right. Well, that's an up and down, the story was tremendous. I was unaware of, I knew parts of it, you had told me, but you know the thing about the parish and moving all that, but so you know we only have about a minute left, and what I think I'd like to sort of close is you bring in all, you know, clearly you bring in all these skills of developing organizations and to make them effective, And that's what we have to do in San Juan Rotary. And, of course, I think we're going to have you back next week.
That's more
stories.
We go
part two. And I didn't even, I had some things, with Tito Trinidad and Trinidad Chamblee, so the Ole Miss, and how they, Bad Bunny and Roberto Clemente. I had all these other things. But I'm glad I gave you the time, because even giving you the whole next two segments, it was really necessary and fantastically interesting. So we'll have you back maybe next week, and we'll go into how, given a specific organization, or the two, you're dealing with the yachting world in Puerto Rico, and with the of course you did the educational, but then with San Juan Rotary, use these nonprofit organizations to move Puerto Rico with the challenges it has.
And I'm working on another one on workforce development, so that's another story. Okay. Synergy Foundation. So
so we're gonna have to have you back, because we'll do a quick summary next week.
Yes.
And we'll
thanks for joining
me,
thank
Anita.
Thank you.
And so you hear a life story, and she still has about half her life left, and and it's
Tina went to 104.
so this is what life is about. This is what we, I think, should be in this world for, and I hope this inspires you. If you're interested in Rotary, contact me, and we'll get you involved. There are different clubs that do different things, and I think ours is the best, but not for everyone. So this is the program. Buddy Reyes has been my guest, consultant in the nonprofit, community development, educational world, and I hope you've learned and has inspired you to get out from the grandstand down into the playing field. Take care. We'll see you next week. Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.